Okay, moving on. Can't remember who this person is. I think it's famous Catherine Bloom, who she speaks more than I do, I believe, at these meetings. But anyway, Catherine, would you take us through the rulemaking process, please?
Yes, sir. I'm not touching that last comment at all. Once again, just waiting for the presentation to finish loading. All right, there we go. Okay, well, once again, I'm Catherine Bloom, and I'm the division's rulemaking coordinator. In the rulemaking update section of the briefing book, beginning on page 184, is a memo and supporting documents that provide an update to the commission on the status of rulemaking and request the commission's vote on the notice of text for readoption and amendment of a portion of its rules. I will review these items for you. And before beginning, I would like to acknowledge the many staff involved that made it possible to bring these proposed rules before the commission to begin rulemaking. These rules represent numerous hours of work by many hands. The presentation includes an overview of the 2020-2021 rulemaking cycle, including rules in Package A and Package B. Then I will quickly provide a summary of the requirements of the periodic review and expiration of existing rules. Next, the presentation covers the six rulemaking subjects for Package B. And finally, the division recommendation is provided for the scheduled commission action to vote on notice of text for rulemaking for the proposed rules in Package B. Here's the status of this year's rulemaking cycle. Due to protective measures to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 and subsequent impacts to staff workload, we have two packages of rules this year. You approved a small group of rules to begin the rulemaking process at your May meeting. This is Package A, which includes readoption of seven recreational water quality program rules. Rulemaking to begin readoption of additional rules is scheduled for today, and this is Package B. It has 50 rules covering six subjects. First, I'll provide a brief update on the progress of the rules in Package A. There are three corresponding handouts in your briefing materials, the table shown here, as well as the August 3rd news release and North Carolina Register publication of the proposed recreational water quality program rules. This slide shows the table for Package A that's in your briefing materials. At your May 2020 business meeting, you approved the proposed recreational water quality program rules and associated fiscal analysis for notice of text for rulemaking. On August 3rd, the proposed rules were published in the North Carolina Register, accompanied by a news release. Again, the Register publication and news release are in the briefing materials. These rules were adopted in 2004 and need updating to bring the Recreational Water Quality Program into compliance with new Environmental Protection Agency criteria and standards released in 2014, and to be more efficient as a program in protecting public health. The Marine Fisheries Commission is accepting public comments on the proposed rules from August 3rd through 5 p.m. October 2nd, 2020. Public comments on the proposed rules may be submitted by an online form available on the division's website on the proposed rules page or by U.S. mail. An online public hearing will also be held via WebEx on August 26th at 6 p.m. And thank you, Commissioner McNeil, for agreeing to serve as the hearing officer for that event. Details about the hearing and about how to register to speak at the hearing are also available on the website, as are the proposed rules and the corresponding fiscal analysis. The three steps currently underway are highlighted here. You will receive an update on the public comments at your November 2020 business meeting, and you will be asked to vote on final approval of the rules at that time. The rules have a proposed effective date of April 1, 2021, which coincides with the start of the 2021 recreational swimming season, creating a smooth transition. Okay, this slide looks very similar, but shows the rulemaking cycle for Package B. And today you'll be asked to begin the rulemaking process for rules in Chapter 3, Marine Fisheries, and Chapter 18, Subchapter 18A, Sanitation. In general, all the steps in the process are shifted forward one quarter for Package B. The earliest effective date of these rules is May 1, 2021. In addition to the table shown here, the briefing materials include a fiscal analysis of each of the six subjects. The proposed rules are appended to each respective fiscal analysis, and I will detail each of these subjects shortly. The slide shows the table for Package B in your materials, and today you're scheduled to vote on approval of notice of text for rulemaking, including approval of the proposed rules and associated fiscal analyses. The proposed rules will be published in the North Carolina Register in October. A public comment period will be held from approximately October to December. The Commission will receive an update on the public comments at your February 2021 meeting, and you'll be asked to vote on final approval of the rules at that time. The rules have an earliest effective date of May 1, and the current step is highlighted on the slide. This figure shows the steps in the permanent rulemaking process and is a good visual indication of the complexity of rulemaking and the time it takes to promulgate rules. The arrows show the relationship of the steps and the contingent nature of certain steps that can cause an earlier step to need to be repeated. We're here for the seven recreational water quality program rules in Package A. Publication of the rules in the North Carolina Register and on the division's website, the public comment period, and the public hearing. And for Package B, we're at the beginning of the process where you are proposing 50 rules for readoption and amendment by approving notice of text for rulemaking. Before I get into the six rulemaking subjects for Package B, I would like to provide one slide as a quick summary of the requirements of General Statute 150B-21.3A, the periodic review and expiration of existing rules. Session Law 2013-413, the Regulatory Reform Act of 2013, implemented requirements known as the periodic review and expiration of existing rules. These requirements are codified in a new section of Article 2A of Chapter 150B of the General Statutes. Under the requirements, each agency is responsible for conducting a review of all its rules at least once every 10 years in accordance with the prescribed process. The review has two parts. The first is a report phase, which has concluded, followed by the readoption of rules, which is underway. This figure is in the rulemaking update memo in the briefing materials. I think it's on page 190 if anyone's following along in the materials. An evaluation of the rules under the authority of the Commission was undertaken in two lots. The Marine Fisheries Commission has 172 rules in Chapter 3, Marine Fisheries, that are subject to readoption, and 164 rules in Chapter 18, Subchapter 18A, Sanitation, that are also subject to readoption. The Marine Fisheries Commission is the body with the authority for the approval steps prescribed in the process. You can see in 2020, the Commission is undertaking 55 rules for readoption. There are 238 rules remaining to be readopted, and of these, 116 must be readopted before June 30th of 2022. To meet this deadline, the Commission will need to begin rulemaking for these rules by this time next year. So clearly, we have a lot of work remaining in front of us. Next, I will explain the proposed changes for readoption of each of the six subjects. The briefing materials include a fiscal analysis of each subject, and the proposed rules are appended to each respective fiscal analysis. The first subject is the classification of shellfish growing waters. Today, you're scheduled to vote on proposed amendments to readopt and repeal through readoption 14 rules in 15A and CAC 18A, pursuant to the requirements of General Statute 150B-21.3A. Additionally, proposed amendments will conform the rules with minimum standards for the National Shellfish Sanitation Program Guide for the Control of Molluscan Shellfish. North Carolina must meet these minimum standards in order for North Carolina shellfish to be sold through interstate commerce. North Carolina is part of the National Shellfish Sanitation Program, or NSSP, which is a federal and state cooperative program designed to promote and improve the sanitation of shellfish, including oysters, clams, mussels, and scallops, moving in interstate commerce. Division of Marine Fisheries staff worked together with representatives from other states, the federal government, and industry through the Interstate Shellfish Sanitation Conference to develop guidelines for all state shellfish programs that are summarized in the Guide for the Control of Moluscan Shellfish. By readopting the proposed rules, North Carolina would maintain full compliance with federal minimum standards included in this guide and would maintain full eligibility of the sale of shellfish products through interstate commerce. Additional changes to the rules update rule language to be more concise and consistent. Rule language is also proposed to formalize the use of conditionally approved shellfish areas to increase the overall flow of shellfish from the state. The use of conditional areas has been in place in North Carolina for over 20 years. In short, none of the proposed rule changes lead to any substantive changes in the ongoing operations of the division, but rather conform language to these practices and requirements. Importantly, these proposed rules do not result in significant changes to the supply of shellfish products within or outside of North Carolina. Rather, the overarching effect of these proposed rules is to conform rule language with updated state practices and federal requirements in order to remain compliant and continue participating in interstate commerce. As a result, the fiscal analysis of the proposed rules shows state government impacts with a small flow of benefits to the state due to increased efficiencies, with no costs incurred as all action will fold into ongoing activities. Overall, the proposed readoptions do not result in a significant economic impact to the regulated community, state government, or other parties. No new costs to enforcement are estimated from these proposed rule changes. The next subject is for rules with minor changes related to standards for commercial shellfish sanitation and processing procedures. Today, you're scheduled to vote on proposed amendments to readopt 21 rules in 15A NCAC 18A. Pursuant to the requirements of General Statute 150B-21.3A. The rules relate to standards for commercial shellfish sanitation and processing procedures. Of these, 13 rules have minor changes proposed, such as updates to punctuation, agency names, capitalization, acronym introduction, and a missing degree symbol for a temperature provided. The changes conform the rules to current standards for rulemaking. The remaining 8 rules are proposed for readoption with no changes. The fiscal analysis of the proposed rules shows no state government impact. Overall, the proposed readoptions do not result in a significant economic impact to the regulated community, state government, or other parties. The next subject is shellfish lease user conflicts. Today, you're scheduled to vote on proposed amendments to readopt 3 rules in 15A NCAC 03. Pursuant to the requirements of General Statute 150B-21.3A. Additionally, Session Law 2019-37 was passed with the explicit goal of providing increased support to the state's shellfish aquaculture industry. Central to this was the goal of understanding user conflict issues of shellfish leasing and amending state regulations based on these findings. Section 9 of the law required the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality, the Division, and the Marine Fisheries Commission to study how to reduce user conflict related to shellfish cultivation leases and to adopt rules and reform internal operating procedures consistent with the findings of the study. The report summarizing the study was presented to and approved by the Marine Fisheries Commission at your November 2019 meeting and is included as Appendix 3 in the fiscal analysis that's in the briefing materials. Proposed rules are based on the results of the study and are initial measures that aim to reduce user conflict issues while supporting a productive shellfish aquaculture industry within the deadline mandated by the law. There will be more rule changes to come. Specifically, these proposed rules would increase setback limits from developed shorelines for new shellfish leases, limit the allowable number of corners for demarcating shellfish leases to simplify polygon shape, set new criteria for shellfish lease stakes and signage to alleviate navigation concerns, and initiate a new leaseholder training program that emphasizes user conflict reduction strategies. The fiscal analysis of the proposed rules shows state and local government impact. The economic costs to the state fall into two discrete categories: loss of available shellfish lease acreage due to increased setbacks, which can impact future production capacity, and cost to the state to implement the new proposed stake and signage regulations. However, as these rules seek to address user conflict issues, there are a number of non-quantifiable benefits to the state, as user conflict is expected to decline due to decreases in both visual and direct interaction with shellfish leases in the state. The increased setback requirement may have a corresponding positive effect on local house prices, which would improve tax revenues to the state as well as the local community. In all, the fiscal impacts in terms of both costs and benefits to the state are not expected to be significant, and no new costs to enforcement are expected. The next subject is general regulations joint. Today, you're scheduled to vote on proposed amendments to readopt 9 rules in 15A NCAC 03 pursuant to the requirements of General Statute 150B-21.3A. The proposed readoptions do not contain any changes to the rules. In accordance with General Statute 113-132, these 9 rules, subtitled Jurisdiction of Agencies, Classification of Waters, were originally adopted jointly by the Marine Fisheries Commission and the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission, the WRC. As a result, each agency must approve readoption of the rules. The WRC has not taken action on these rules. The action scheduled today will begin the process for the Marine Fisheries Commission to satisfy its statutory obligation to readopt these rules. Since these 9 rules are proposed for readoption with no changes, the fiscal analysis shows no new impacts to the economic benefits and costs of the rules. As such, no fiscal impact will be observed. Okay, we have 2 more subjects to cover. The next subject is the Shrimp Fishery Management Plan Amendment 1, Special Secondary Nursery Areas. Today, you're scheduled to vote on proposed amendments to readopt 1 rule pursuant to the requirements of General Statute 150B-21.3A and amend 1 rule, both found in 15A NCAC 03. In February of 2015, the Shrimp Fishery Management Plan Amendment 1 and its rules were adopted by the Marine Fisheries Commission. One of the final management measures to implement after adoption of Amendment 1 was to evaluate changing the designation of 9 Special Secondary Nursery Areas, or SSNAs, that have not been open to trawling since at least 2004 to Permanent Secondary Nursery Areas, or SNAs. The evaluation was undertaken and shows these 9 sites have all been functioning as SNAs for nearly 30 years. None of these sites has been open for trawling since 1991 at the latest, except for 1 site in Newport River, which was opened by proclamation in 2004. At your February 2020 business meeting, you voted to select your preferred management option for this issue, which was to change the designation of all 9 proposed SSNAs to SNAs. These changes would convert roughly 8,700 acres of current SSNA waters to SNAs, making them subject to all standard SNA gillnet attendance requirements under the corresponding rule already in place. The 2 practical differences between SNAs and SSNAs relates to trawling and small mesh gillnet attendance. In SNAs, it is unlawful to use trawl nets for any purpose. But since none of the SSNAs proposed for change have been open to trawling since at least 2004, the only impactful management change is the additional requirements related to small mesh gillnet attendance in all but 1 of these areas. Scranton Creek would see no changes in its small mesh gillnet attendance requirements. All areas have gillnet attendance requirements now. The proposed rules would require additional attendance in all waters, not just 50 yards from the shoreline, from May 1 to November 30th. Please refer to Appendix 3 of the fiscal analysis for associated tables and figures for the 9 areas that show the gillnet attendance requirements that would be in place once the rule changes become effective. The fiscal analysis is in your briefing materials. The fiscal analysis shows state government impact. The only relevant changes are the additional requirements related to small mesh gillnet attendance. These new requirements will carry offsetting fiscal impacts to the state. Increased small mesh gill net attendance in these waterways brings a likelihood of decreased bycatch, discord mortality, and user conflict, though has offsetting costs in the form of lost opportunity costs to anglers for more attendance time. The proposed rule changes are primarily designed to realign these special secondary nursery areas with regulations that match their existing usages, so the additional cost of enforcement is expected to be negligible. The last subject is oyster sanctuaries. Today you're scheduled to vote to amend one rule in 15A NCAC 03. For oyster sanctuaries, oyster harvest is prohibited and the use of a trawl net, long-haul seine, swipe net, and mechanical methods for oystering or clamming are prohibited. The term sanctuary refers to reefs protected from oyster harvest in commission rule or by proclamation issued by the fisheries director under the authority of commission rule. Rule amendments are proposed to add the boundaries of the five most recently developed oyster sanctuaries and update boundaries for three existing sanctuaries. Boundaries delineating the area for two existing sanctuaries are proposed to be removed from the rule as they no longer function as biologically productive oyster sanctuaries. For these reef sites to serve their intended management function as oyster broodstock sanctuaries, harvest protections need to be applied. As part of the 2008 Oyster Fishery Management Plan Amendment 2, the Marine Fisheries Commission moved the protection of sanctuaries from proclamation into Rules 03K, 0209, and 03R, 0117, both named oyster sanctuaries, the former placing restrictions on fishing activities within defined oyster sanctuaries, and the latter defining in rule the specific location of each oyster sanctuary using coordinate points. And that is the rule you'll be voting on. Today, the division maintains and manages 15 oyster sanctuaries in the network, 10 protected in the oyster sanctuary rules, and 5 currently protected via proclamation. The sanctuaries are in Pamlico Sound and its tributaries, encompassing approximately 4.5 to 60 acres each, totaling almost 400 acres, with over 205,000 tons of material deployed for oyster habitat. This includes the 5 new sanctuary sites that are proposed to be added to this rule, which have already had material deployed and reefs constructed. And again, please refer to Appendix 3 of this fiscal analysis for tables and figures providing oyster sanctuary names, locations, spatial extents, and development. The fiscal analysis of the proposed rule shows state government impact. The fiscal impact to the state is in terms of production of natural resources and boils down to a single value of acreage being removed from the public access. In short, all bottoms cited for sanctuary reef construction must not contain any existing shellfish habitat or habitat suited for marine resource spawning and nursing, meaning all sanctuary bottom is unproductive prior to construction. The proposed rule adds approximately 101 net acres to sanctuary status, thereby being removed from public access. This net removal of water bottom would not directly impact the amount of shellfish habitat available for harvest, as it was not existing shellfish habitat. However, it may indirectly impact shellfish harvest in the future, as the increase in sanctuary reef is expected to lead to greater broodstock in surrounding waters. Since all of this acreage was not functioning as fishing grounds, restricted activities inside sanctuaries, namely trawling, long hauling, and dredging, would not be significantly affected either. In addition to the direct benefits of increased shellfish broodstock, there are also the economic benefits from ecosystem services of oyster reefs. Because the expected costs of site construction and marking have already been incurred, all future costs are expected to be negligible. Lastly, given the existing presence of oyster sanctuaries and the mechanisms in place to enforce the rules associated with them, there are no expected impacts to enforcement costs from this proposed rule change. The last agenda item for the rulemaking update is for the Commission to vote on notice of text for rulemaking, and the Division recommends the Marine Fisheries Commission begin the rule readoption and amendment process for the 50 rules presented by voting on notice of text for rulemaking, including the corresponding fiscal analyses. So the next step is for the commission to vote to begin the rule readoption and amendment process by voting on notice of text for rulemaking, including the corresponding fiscal analyses for the five subjects for rule readoption and the one subject for rule amendment. Since there are different statutes involved in the process for rule readoption and rule amendment, it is recommended the commission address these actions in two separate motions. The 49 rule readoptions can be handled as a group in one long motion, or if there are items the commission would like to handle separately, we're prepared to walk the commission through those as needed for the corresponding actions. Based on the commission's direction, Patricia and I can assist you with the sequence of motions and the specific nomenclature for the rule references. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I can try to address any questions the commission may have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Catherine. Outstanding job as usual. All of these, except for the rule amendment on the Oyster Sanctuaries, are readoption of rules. These are things that have been voted on and approved sometimes in the past, where we had to go over and over and from time to time, and we just have to readopt these from time to time. Now, we can go rule by rule of those 49 rules. If you all see a need to or have a question or concern about any of them, or we can readopt those 49 as a batch. So if y'all want to readopt those as a batch, please make a motion, and Catherine can help with the verbiage of it.
I'll make a motion. This is Martin. Was that the verbiage just came up?
I think so.
I think Patricia has it also, Mr. Chairman, just to try to facilitate with all the numbers.
Sure.
Okay. I'll make a motion to readopt the 49 proposed rules per the language that's given below.
Okay. Great. Is there a second to this?
This is Robert. I'll second that.
Okay. Robert McNeil second it. Okay, is there any discussion, questions? This is a lot of stuff, but it is not new to the commission in some time frame. Okay, if there's not, let's have a roll call, please. Laura.
Okay. Commissioner Croft.
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Blanton. Thank you. Commissioner Hendrickson?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Cornegie?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner McNeil?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Roller?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Romano?
Aye.
Thank you. And Chairman Bizzle.
Aye. Okay. Thank motion you. Passes unanimously. Now we need to have a motion to adopt the rule in regards to the Oyster Sanctuaries. There we go. Do we have a motion to approve this rule?
This is Robert. Sorry.
Go ahead, Robert.
I'll motion that.
Okay. Robert McNeil makes the motion. Who wants to second it?
I'll second it, Doug Cross.
Doug Cross seconds it. Yeah. Okay. Any discussion on this rule or the motion? If not, Laura, roll call, please.
All right. Commissioner Cross.
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Blanton.
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Hendrickson?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Cornegie?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner McNeil?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Roller?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Romano?
Aye.
And Chairman Bizzle?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Once again, Catherine, thank you and the crew for all the work y'all have done on this. It's labor intensive and gives me a headache just listening to you. Nothing personal.
None taken. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.